NBAA sets records, but also misses a couple. A judge blames the FAA for a midair back in 2000. And Mooney fires the latest shot in the fastest piston single marketing war. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation from Monday, October 1st, 2007. The count is in, and this year's National Business Aviation Association annual show and convention drew 32,051 attendees to the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta. The show closed out on Thursday, and while attendance was third best all time, there were a few other records set. One of those records was number of exhibitors, 1,152. That's enough to fill 1 million square feet of indoor floor space. 115 aircraft were on static display at Fulton County Airport, and more than $2.6 billion in jet sales were closed at the show. Sinoswearingen got new owners. Columbia Aircraft officially declared bankruptcy. Cessna announced it was making an offer for some of Columbia's assets. Indian entrepreneur Dr. Vijay Mallya bought a 50% stake in Epic Aircraft for $200 million. Exojet, which began operations less than 2 years ago, ordered 110 jets worth $2.2 billion. The industry now looks ahead to 2008 in Orlando, and Aero News will take you there next year. It's been more than 7 years now since Chicago radio listeners learned that WGN morning man Bob Uncle Bobby Collins and two other people had died following a midair collision. A federal judge ruled on Friday that Collins was only 5% at fault for the crash, leveling the rest of the blame at the FAA and an air traffic controller. Collins' plane collided with one flown by a female student pilot. Collins and his passenger died when his Zlin came down on the roof of the Midwestern Medical Center in Zion, Illinois. The student also suffered fatal injuries when her Cessna came down on a street. The two families were suing each other, each claiming the other pilot had been at fault. Christine Collins, Bob Collins' widow, said she was pleased at the finding of the court. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that because 95% of the blame has been placed on a federal agency which is immune from lawsuits, the only money that can be collected by plaintiffs is a $1 million insurance policy carried by Midwest Air Traffic Control Services, a private contractor which ran the tower for the FAA at Waukegan Airport. The air traffic controller on duty had gone 7 hours without a break. U.S. District Judge John Dara decided that when the controller realized he was unaware of the two aircraft's positions, he failed to issue a safety alert and order Collins and Hawk to abort their landings when he had the opportunity to do so. Judge Dara was also critical of the FAA for failing to install a Terminal Automated Radar Display and Information System, or TARDIS, at Waukegan Airport until after the three fatalities, while Meigs Field, with less traffic, got one first. TARDIS was developed in 1993 by FAA engineer Michael Risley using software he created, running on a standard desktop computer. TARDIS is put into small airports without their own radar systems and uses data derived from other nearby radar facilities to create a virtual radar display. It can reportedly be implemented for about $40,000 per airport. That's a small fraction of an actual radar system. The Mooney Acclaim, which the factory claimed would make 237 knots when it debuted in 2006, has now been joined by the Acclaim Type S, with claimed top speed of 242 knots. The improvement was gained by using twin Kelly Aerospace turbochargers on the Continental IO-550G, allowing the engine to make its rated 280 horsepower all the way to 25,000 feet. Mooney has been locked in a battle with Columbia for bragging rights to the title of fastest piston single. Columbia has called the 400, quote, arguably the fastest, unquote. David Copeland, Mooney's vice president of sales and marketing, now calls the Acclaim Type S, quote, unquestionably the fastest single, period, unquote. Columbia, which filed for bankruptcy last week, may be a little too busy to immediately return fire in that war of words. The new Type S from Mooney comes with Garmin G1000 avionics and starts at just under $600,000. The company says deliveries will start in the first quarter of 2008. NBAA's annual convention is over, but there's no rest for the Aero News roadies. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association will hold its annual AOPA Expo in Hartford, Connecticut, this Thursday through Sunday at the Connecticut Convention Center, and ANN will be there. This is the first time AOPA Expo has been to New England. AOPA expects 10,000 attendees to pump about $10 million into Hartford's local economy. Less than 2 miles from the convention center, more than 60 airplanes, including AOPA's 1977 Cessna 177 Cardinal sweepstakes airplane, will be on display. More info, including VFR arrival procedures, is available at aopa.org/expo. Up next on ANN, Boeing gets tough on employees who leak internal matters to the press. Government investigators find the U.S.-Canadian border is a security vulnerability. And bird strike reports pick up as migration season opens. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 1st, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Nicholas Tides was fired Friday from Boeing. And he says the company told him it was because he talked with a reporter from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. At issue is the company's compliance with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that was enacted in 2002, and among its other provisions, it requires public companies to safeguard their computer systems from manipulation, theft, and fraud. Boeing says it's compliant. A July investigative report in the PI cited unnamed sources within Boeing as saying the audits used to verify compliance are suspect. The paper reports receiving an anonymous email on Friday claiming audit employees are under surveillance, have been threatened with firing, lawsuit, and criminal prosecution, and that multiple suspensions are coming this week. The paper says it's been told by employees that they fear their personal emails will be read. Tom Downey, Boeing's Senior Vice President for Communication, points out, quote, "We have very clear policies and procedures regarding the release of information outside of the company. Our employees know what they are, and they are expected to follow them," unquote. On the issue of so-called private emails sent from work, he added, quote, "Our company computing systems are the property of the Boeing company, and our employees are very aware of their responsibilities in using their systems, and in their use they consent to using those assets properly," unquote. Helicopter Association International tells ANN that open sections of the U.S.-Canadian border present major security vulnerabilities for the United States, according to what government investigators told Congress on Thursday. Senators demanded to know how much more personnel and technology the Homeland Security Department needs to secure the nation's border with Canada, after government investigators were able to sneak into the United States undetected on multiple occasions while simulating the smuggling of radioactive materials. HAI reports the GAO observed a large presence of law enforcement personnel and Army National Guard troops in one state, as well as unmanned aerial vehicles, along the Mexican border. While the report does not specify the state, it's likely Arizona, where DHS is initiating the first phase of the SBINET program. The goal is to build a virtual fence along the border using technology and infrastructure, but it's been delayed due to technical glitches. The GAO has concluded, quote, that more human capital and technological capabilities are needed to effectively protect the northern border, unquote. The migratory bird season is underway, and the last 10 days have seen several bird strikes on aircraft. On Saturday, the 22nd, Delta Flight 807, a Boeing MD-88, was landing at Jackson, Mississippi, when it struck large birds, causing damage to the nose radome, flaps, and landing gear. No humans were injured in that one. That same day, SkyWest Flight 3944, a Bombardier CL-600, was on final approach to land at Salt Lake City when the plane suffered unspecified damage in a collision with a large bird. None of the crew or passengers was injured there. On Sunday, September 23rd, a Cessna Citation was on approach to Trenton, New Jersey when it struck a bird. The extent of the damage to the plane was not reported. Four of seven passengers in a Eurocopter EC-130 were treated for minor injuries Thursday when the aircraft hit an eagle and made a forced landing at Meadville, Arizona. Then, on Saturday, the first officer aboard an AirTran 737 suffered cuts and bruises when the plane's windshield collapsed in a bird strike during departure from Philadelphia. None of the passengers were injured, but they were late. AirTran couldn't find another plane to make the trip to Atlanta until more than 5 hours after the scheduled 11 a.m. departure. Let's all be careful out there. Police officials in Phoenix, Arizona, believe a 45-year-old woman may have died while in custody at Sky Harbor Airport when she inadvertently strangled herself while trying to escape from handcuffs. The Associated Press reports that Carol Ann Gottbaum of New York became extremely irate when she arrived too late to catch her flight, was arrested for disorderly conduct after confronting gate agents, then handcuffed and placed in a holding cell. Officers say when they heard her screaming stop, they checked on her and found her unresponsive. The Maricopa County Medical Examiner will determine an official cause of death. Still ahead, Boeing's Hummingbird unmanned chopper performs an 8-hour test flight. NASA starts getting ready for the end of the shuttle era. And a student pilot wins a new Cessna Skyhawk from Sporty's. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 1st, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing says it successfully flew its A-160T Hummingbird unmanned rotorcraft on Wednesday for 8 hours while carrying a 1,000-pound payload. During its longest flight to date, the aircraft reached 5,000 feet near Victorville, California. The half-ton payload simulated the delivery of critical supplies to the battlefield. Future payloads will include a combination of sensors, weapons, and systems to perform a variety of missions. The autonomous unmanned aircraft is 35 feet long with a 36-foot rotor diameter and is designed to fly at more than 140 knots with a ceiling of 25 to 30,000 feet. Boeing claims high hover capability up to 15,000 feet and operation for up to 20 hours. Operational A-160Ts will be capable of persistent intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, target acquisition, direct action, communication relay, and precise resupply missions. It sounds pretty far off now, but 2009 will be here before you know it, and NASA is already preparing for the first test launches of the Ares rockets that will take over for the space shuttle fleet after 2010. NASA tells ANN that designs and modifications are underway at Kennedy Space Center's Launch Pad 39B to accommodate the first test flight of an Ares 1 rocket in April of 2009. Although the rocket is a new design, NASA is following a plan that allows the agency to use many facilities which already exist. Meanwhile, Launch Pad 39B has hosted its last planned space shuttle launch. It's being kept ready just in case an emergency flight is called for during the last Hubble Space Telescope repair mission in September 2008. A new launch tower for Ares 1 will be built onto a new mobile launch platform. Launchpad 39A will be readied for the Ares 5, a rocket almost as tall as the Saturn V and even more powerful. NASA's transition plan also includes updates for the vehicle assembly building, launch control, and other existing facilities. Otto Sorg is 63 years old, lives in Dexter, Michigan, and makes his living as a software analyst. But he's been interested in aviation all his life. He served as a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne, has volunteered with the Civil Air Patrol, and has become a student pilot. And now, he's the excited new owner of a Cessna Skyhawk. Sorg won the Sporty's Pilot Shop 2007 sweepstakes. He was accompanied by his wife Linda and his flight instructor Teresa Whiting when he picked up the plane last week. Next year, Sporty's will do it again. Another new Skyhawk will be awarded September 10, 2008, after a drawing to pick a winning customer number. And finally, Owen Garriott, who's now 76, became a NASA astronaut and flew aboard the space station Skylab for 59 days in 1973, and later flew a mission aboard the space shuttle Columbia in 1983. His son, Richard Garriott, now 46, pursued an interest in computer games to become a multimillionaire entrepreneur. I'm guessing there were probably some very interesting career conversations with Dad during his late teen years. But now, son Richard will follow Dad Owen's footsteps into space. But not through NASA. Richard Garriott has booked a flight aboard a Soyuz rocket launched from Kazakhstan in about a year. He told the AP on Friday, quote, "My dad was an astronaut, so I grew up believing that space was going to be available for everyone at some point in the future. But I realized that the NASA method was a statistical improbability," unquote. The trip is costing an estimated $30 million and was brokered by Space Adventures Limited, based in Virginia. Actually, that statistical improbability isn't so improbable if you look at history. AP counts three current father-son cosmonaut pairs in Russia, although at least one member of each pair has yet to fly. NASA has had a set of identical twins as astronauts and several married couples. And, of course, one love triangle in which two of the three were astronauts. But enough about that one. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll discuss new technology in cockpits and something Bob calls the 16-hour rule. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.